Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
We bless your name, Lord. We lift you up. We thank you because you are good. You are kind. And we praise you forevermore for who you are, Lord. Be magnified. Be glorified. Be exalted. We place you on high, Lord. Ulungile. Ulungile means you are God. Ulungile. Sing with me. Simple song, join the sing with me. That means you are good, that means you are God. Sing it again. It's a South African dialect, Zulu. Then you go ahead and tell the Lord, you are good, you are kind, you are faithful, we praise your name.
You are kind.
saint as one from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sea. Your name is to be Adonai, Adonai, Adonai. From the rising of the sun, from the bless you. We lift your name up. You are good. You are King. You are Lord. You are faithful. You are all of these things to us. And tonight, as we stay in your presence, we pray that you will speak to us as you've done aforetimes. May your name be exalted. And in Jesus' name have we prayed with thanksgiving. Let everybody say amen. All right. God bless you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Jesus. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to Genesis chapter 3. And we're reading from verse number 8. We are reading from the New King James Version. New King James Version. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." So Adam said to God that, "I heard your voice in the garden. I heard your voice." Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Moses was speaking to the people of Israel, and this is what he said to them, New Living Translation. He was reminding them about different things that happened when they journeyed from Egypt to the Promised Land. He said, "And the Lord spoke to you from the heart of the fire. You heard the sound of his words, but didn't see his form. There was only a voice. There was only a voice. He proclaimed his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to keep, and which he wrote on two stone tablets." So take note, the Lord spoke to them, and they didn't see the Lord, but they heard a voice. Psalms 95, verse 7. Psalms 95 and verse 7. It says, "For he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today." His voice. If only you would listen to his voice today. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. And I want to continue sharing with you about the voice of God. This is the third part in the series, the voice of God. Now, if you've been around for some time, if you are a member of this church family, I'm certain that you've heard me say many times that every one of us must know God for ourselves. We must know God for ourselves. And why is this important to do? Why is it important to know God for ourselves? Because that is where our safety and security lies. If you know God for yourself, it brings you a lot of safety and security. If we are going to stay on course, if we are going to end up well in this Christian experience, it is very crucial that we know God for ourselves. Can I have amen? Now, to know God for ourselves requires that we should know His voice. Amen. If we are going to know God for ourselves, we must know His voice. And yes, God has a voice and He speaks. Say with me, God has a voice and He speaks. Say it again, God has a voice and He speaks. So to know God for yourself, you must know His voice. And you must understand that God is not only interested in listening to us, He is also very much interested in speaking to us. And there are a lot of scriptures that point to this fact that God speaks. So you read in different parts of the scriptures, God said, God spoke, God said these words. All these things, all these scriptures point to the fact that God speaks. And if God speaks, it means that He has a voice. And you know what? I believe that all of us must get to the place in our Christian life where we can say, God told me, or God said to me. When you are not spiritual, and when you have not developed your relationship with God to the extent that you can hear Him speaking to you, anytime you hear somebody saying that God said to me, or God spoke to me, or that the Holy Spirit said to me, you find the people who talk like that, you find them very creepy and very spooky, because you can't relate with it. You've not developed your relationship with God to that point. But I'm submitting to you tonight that you can have such a relationship with God, and you also will be able to speak and say that God said to me, or God spoke to me. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I went to visit a friend of mine in her office. She has a law firm, and I haven't seen her in a while. I promised her that I was going to pass by her office, and so I did. And during the period that I sat with her talking, she kept saying at different times that the Holy Ghost spoke to me. The Holy Ghost said to me. God spoke to me. I mean, several times he made that statement. And I want you to understand that when you have a certain kind of relationship with God, you will also talk in that way. And it is not something that has been reserved for just pastors or for ministers of the gospel. Sometimes servants of God and ministers of the gospel try and create, they create the impression that they are the only ones who have exclusive rights to God. That if you are a normal Christian, you cannot have a certain experience of God, and you cannot have a certain encounter with God. I need you to rid that thing of your mind, that you can have such a relationship with God that you too will be able to say ever so often that God spoke to me. Amen. Now, God is going to lead us and guide us as we move through this life through His voice. That's how He's going to lead us. He's not going to lead us by manifesting himself physically and going ahead of us for us to follow him. We don't have many people who actually had such an experience of God, where they actually saw him physically and tangibly. Adam and Eve obviously had such a relationship with God. And there are others also in the Bible who saw God, what we describe as a theophany, where God reveals himself physically, tangibly, and in an accommodating way to people. Abraham had that, Jacob had that, Moses had that, Joshua had that, and Nebuchadnezzar, who was not a Jew, also had an experience of God like that. The apostles, whom we read about in the Bible, had that experience of God, or that experience of Christ. In that case, it's called a Christophany. Now, we are not likely to have a lot of such encounters, if any. And for most of us, to be guided and directed through this life, through this dark world, we are going to have to follow the voice of God. We have to know God's voice as he speaks to us, and we are going to have to follow that voice if we are going to do well and if we are going to make it. And this is going to be the key to our safety, our blessing, our promotion, our fulfilled dreams in this life. So that explains why I'm sharing with you about knowing the voice of God. And there are different things that we need to know about the voice of God. The first one that I shared with you is that to know the voice of God, we must know the Lord, be known of him, and we must submit to him. Actually, you can use these expressions interchangeably. To know the voice of God, we must know the Lord. To know the Lord, we must know the voice of God. That's how it is. But here we are saying that to know the voice of God, which is the first thing I told you that we need to know about the voice of God. To know the voice of God, we must know the Lord, be known of him, and submit to him. Which means that the starting point, really, of having a certain experience of God where you know him, where he relates with you, where he communes with you, the starting point of it is that you must be saved and you must be born again and you must be a child of God. You must know the Lord. You must be known of him as his child. And not just that, but you must submit to him if you are going to hear his voice and if you are going to know his voice in your life. You know, we're all familiar, I believe, with Psalm 23, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we like to quote that psalm very often. Some people pray with it. Some have printed it out and put it up in their rooms. But you see, the degree to which we submit to the Lord as our shepherd is the degree to which we shall not want. I'll say that again. The degree or the extent to which we submit to the Lord is the degree or the extent to which we shall not want. It's not just a matter of saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There are a lot of Christians who say, "The Lord is my shepherd," but they won't. And a lot of things are not working well in their lives. Because it is not just about saying that the Lord is my shepherd. It's about how much you yield and submit to him. Because if he's your shepherd, it means that he's going to be leading you. Now, if he's going to be leading you, it means that you must submit enough to follow him. Otherwise, he cannot lead you. And God never forces himself on anybody. He needs your submission, your willingness, and your cooperation to lead you and guide you through this life. Can I have an amen from somebody? So that is why we are saying that to know the voice of God, we must know the Lord, be known of Him, and submit to Him. The second thing that we need to know about the voice of God, ladies and gentlemen, is that to know the voice of God, we must know the different ways God speaks to us. We must know the different ways God speaks to us, or the different channels He uses to communicate with us. The first channel that we looked at is the Word of God. God speaks to us. One way is through His Word. Through His Word. Anytime you pick up your Bible to read it, understand that what you are reading is the Word of God. It is actually the voice of God in written form. That's what the Bible is. The Bible is the Word of God, and it is the voice of God that is in a written form. So if you want to know what God is saying to you, if you want to hear the voice of God and know what He's saying to you, you have to get into His Word. Amen. And it is through His Word, the Word of God, the Bible, that's one of the surest ways you can hear the voice of God for your life. And so, when the Bible says that all scripture is inspired by God, what it is trying to get us to understand is that when you take the Holy Scriptures, what you see written in it, what God was behind it, that's what it means. God was behind it. So if you pick your Bible and you read it from Genesis to Revelation, understand that everything that you are reading, God was behind it. God inspired it. God breathed on it. Those who wrote the different books of the Bible, and there are 66 of them, all of them were inspired by God. The Holy Ghost spoke through them. So it was not their own idea. It was not their own imagination. What they wrote was not their own thoughts. It was what God placed in on their minds, in their hearts, and actually guided them and spoke to them about. That is what they wrote. So if you want to know the voice of God, you got to go into the Bible. And the Bible contains everything that God wants to say to you. Everything. Everything that you need for your life, God has said it in His Word. Everything that you need in order to do well and to prosper and to succeed in life, God has said it. And He said it through His Word, which has been written to you. So if you don't go into His Word, you will not know what He's saying to you. You will not know the voice of God for your life. And you will just end up moving round in circles in life without getting to any great place. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to recommend to you today that if you really believe that the voice of God is important for your life, for your safety, for your security, for your well-being, then take the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, take them very seriously. Be an ardent reader of the Word of God. Study it. There's the Word of God in audio form. You can have that. But learn to read the Word of God and to know the Scriptures for yourself. Because God speaks to us through His written Word. And His voice is His written Word. Hallelujah. Then the next channel, which is really what we want to concentrate on, the next channel that God uses in order to speak to us, the next channel that God uses to make His voice and what he wants for us known to us is through the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, through the Holy Spirit. Say it again, through the Holy Spirit. So that's the other thing you need to know about the voice of God. That God speaks to us through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So all this is under the point that if you want to know the voice of God, you must know the channels or the means God uses to speak to us. The first one we said is his word. He speaks to us through his word. We can know his voice through his word. Then the second channel is through the Holy Spirit. We can know the voice of God and everything he's saying to us through the Holy Spirit. Look with me at John chapter 16 and verse 7. John 16 verse 7. I am your servant and I'm listening, Lord. John 16 verse 7. It says, but in fact, now this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. He said, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. Say with me, the advocate. All right. He said, if I don't go away, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Who is Jesus referring to here? The Holy Spirit. And here he's referred to as the advocate. The King James will call him the comforter. And in Greek, it is the word parakletos. Now, one of the meanings of that word is helper. One who has been called to the aid of another. An advocate is also like a lawyer. One who speaks for you. One who defends you. One who talks your matter for you. And the word that is used to describe the Holy Spirit here is advocate. One of the meanings being the one who has been assigned to us to help us and to aid us. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the ways that he helps us and aids us is to make the voice of God known to us, to guide and direct us through this life. Look at John 16, verse 13 to 15. John 16, verse 13 to 15. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And again, who is he referring to here? The Holy Spirit. He's also called the Spirit of truth because he speaks the truth. He reveals the truth. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Then notice what it says. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. Take note of the word speak, tell. All of that had to do with a voice. So then the Holy Spirit speaks. And he tells us things. It continues and says, he will tell you about the future. He will tell you. So he speaks. He has a voice. And he tells us things. And it says he will tell you about the future. Jesus went on further to explain to the disciples that he will bring me glory. Watch it again. By telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you. Watch that one also. The Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So from this scripture, you can see that the Holy Spirit also has a voice. And ladies and gentlemen, the voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of God. It's as simple as that. The voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of God. And one of the reasons why God has given his Spirit to us is so that through the Spirit, he can speak to us. He can commune with us. Hallelujah. So the voice of the Holy Spirit to us is actually the voice of God. And if you ask me, how would I know the voice of God to me? One of the ways is to know the voice of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you. If you are born again, if you are a child of God, then the Holy Spirit has been given to you. He's in the inside of you. Whether you sense his presence or not, whether you feel he's around or not, is immaterial. Provided you are born again and you are a child of God, you have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, let it be known to you that the Holy Spirit has been given to you and he's in the inside of you. He is in your spirit. He is in your inner man. And the Holy Spirit is not just there and just be there without doing anything. He's there to speak to us. And from the scripture we looked at in John 16 verse 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So one of the ways to follow the voice of God is to follow what the Holy Spirit says to you. Now, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? It's another important question that we want to ask ourselves. How does the Holy Spirit speak to us? He speaks to us in different ways. One of the ways that he speaks to us is to speak audibly, directly, and specifically. The Holy Spirit speaks audibly, directly, and specifically to us. And audibly means you can actually hear him speaking to you. Now, that is not too common, but it happens. And it is one of the ways by which the Holy Spirit speaks to us, where you can hear him audibly. Are there examples we can look at from the Word of God? I've had experiences like that, where I knew that a voice that I heard in my ears was the voice of the Holy Spirit. But of course, I'm not the standard in all of these things. The standard is the Word of God. So what does the Word of God say about these things? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, reading from verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we want to read from verse number 2. We are still talking about the voice of God, and this is the third part of the series. And I believe that it is relevant to this month that we are in, which we've dubbed the month of the prophetic. Because prophecy has to do with the voice of God. So as I'm teaching you about the voice of God, it has a lot to do with the prophetic ministry and to do with prophetic stuff. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, reading from verse 2, one night Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to sleep. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. You know the story of Samuel? His mother, Hannah, did not have a child, prayed and asked God for a child, and God gave him a child. But she made a promise to God that the child that you give to me, I'll just enjoy him for a little while, and then I'll give him back to you. And she kept her promise. All right? She kept her promise by God. So, as a little boy, Samuel was dashed to the Lord. And he went to live in the house of God. And he used to sleep close to where the Ark of the Covenant was. Now, that's a very privileged position. All right? So, he was sleeping there. The Bible says, suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes? Samuel replied. Now, from the context of what has been recorded here, it means that Samuel heard a voice audibly calling his name. which explains why he responded and said yes. He heard it. And to confirm that he heard it, what did he do? He got up and ran to Eli. Why did he run to Eli? Because he thought that it was Eli who was calling him. But it was not Eli. It was the voice of God. But you see, it sounded so much like a human and a natural voice that his conclusion was that the voice that I heard calling me must be Eli, the high priest. So he ran to him and said, "Here I am. Did you call him?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." It was an audible voice. Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because he had never had a message from the Lord before. This is why I'm saying that if you don't know the Lord, you are not likely to hear from him in a certain way. Of course, there are exceptions where God can speak to. God can even speak to a donkey or through a donkey. But in the normal way, if you don't have a certain kind of relationship and knowledge of God, you are not likely to hear him speak to you. So the Bible says Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli, being an experienced priest who knew that God speaks and God can actually speak audibly to you, the Bible says, then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." This time he called him twice. "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." "I am your servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Oh, I need your wisdom, your truth and comfort. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. Oh, through your word, through your spirit, speak your words of life. Speak to me, oh yeah, speak to me. I am listening, I am listening, I am waiting. Speak to me." He said, "Speak, your servant is listening." Now, from this passage, you can conclude that the voice of God, which also could have been the voice of the Holy Spirit, came to Samuel audibly. He could hear the words. He could hear the voice through his physical ears. So over here, we are not talking about hearing with your spiritual ears, because you have physical ears and you also have spiritual ears. Understand that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And there are many parts of your physical body that your spirit also has, like eyes, like ears, like a voice. So the voice that Samuel heard was a voice that came to him audibly. He heard it physically. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the ways that God speaks to us. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Let's look at some other accounts in the Bible that support this point. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 29. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 29. This is the story of Philip. Philip was one of the deacons appointed in the church to supervise the distribution of food to the believers in the early church. But he was a very anointed usher, and God used him powerfully. The Bible says in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, that as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia. Of where? Where is Ethiopia? On which continent? Yeah. So that is how the gospel originally came to us. That's how the gospel came to us. The gospel came to us, came to the African continent originally through this eunuch. He was a treasurer, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch who believed in God had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So there are Ethiopian Jews, and he was one of them. And God wanted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to get to Africa. And this is how God arranged it. Remember that the instruction to the disciples was to carry the gospel to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. That included us. And for that to happen, God had to use different people. He used Philip. And through his encounter with this Ethiopian eunuch, an eunuch is somebody who has been castrated. So all his reproductive things have been tampered with. So he can't function normally, the way a normal man is supposed to function. God wanted the gospel to get to us. So he sent Philip. But I want you to notice, at the beginning, it says, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south. So, at the beginning, the Bible says, an angel of the Lord spoke to him. So, God can speak to you through angels. But, as the story continues, the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. What is the next statement after that? The Holy Spirit did what? The Holy Spirit said to Philip. The Holy Spirit said to Philip. So the Holy Spirit speaks. And I have every reason to believe that he spoke audibly to him. Why do I think so? Because if you read further down, after Philip had finished with the guy, he was carried away miraculously from where he had that encounter with the guy, and he went back to Jerusalem. He was physically carried away. So I don't think that this the Holy Spirit said to Philip was just an impression or a conviction that he had. He actually heard the Holy Spirit speaking to him. That's the only logical conclusion to draw here. So this buttresses the point that the Holy Spirit can speak to you audibly, directly, and specifically. Because that's what must have happened in the case here to do with Philip. The Holy Spirit said to him, because what had to be done was of great importance. And when something is of great importance, why was it important? Because the gospel had to get to the Africa continent. And God was not going to you know, go about it speaking by a conviction or by an impression or any of those things. It had to be very clear and direct and specific. So the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. This is yet another example of God speaking audibly to one of his servants. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. In fact, let's start reading from verse 1. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the black man. All right? So there were guys around who were like us. They had an African origin. So all these things should let you know that it was not yesterday that God started thinking about us. At all. So in a certain sense, it is true that the white men brought the gospel to Africa. But in another sense, it is not really true. The gospel got to us long before the Swiss missionaries and the other Europeans came to us. From Scotland, from the Netherlands and all these other places. Anyway, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaim, the childhood companion of King Herod, Antipas, and Saul. Now, verse 2. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, what happened? The Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. Next verse. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Now, they had gathered to worship God, to pray and fast. When the Holy Spirit spoke to them, do you think it was just an impression or a feeling that they had? No. He spoke. And every one of them heard the Holy Spirit speaking. That is why they knew what to do. It was clear to them that it was the Holy Spirit speaking to them. So after they heard, they continued praying and fasting. And when they were done, they dispatched Barnabas and Paul to go and carry out the special assignment. Now, this assignment was also very important because God wanted the gospel to get to the Gentile world. And actually, you would realize that, especially during the beginning of the church, there were a lot of these supernatural encounters. And they were necessary because it was important that there would be no ambiguity about what God is saying and about what God is doing. Because this is the beginning of the great work that was supposed to flood the whole world. That's why there were a lot of such encounters. There were a lot of signs and wonders and miracles of the dimension and magnitude that we don't see much of today. But they were very common in the early church at the beginning of the spread of the gospel, because it was necessary for the gospel to get to where it was supposed to get to. Can I have an amen? So here too, we can see that the Holy Spirit spoke, and he spoke audibly. I am convinced and I believe that he spoke audibly, he spoke directly, and he spoke specifically. So if you ask me, you see, we've established that the voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of God. And we are asking ourselves that how does the Holy Spirit speak? And I've explained to you that one of the ways that he speaks is he speaks audibly, directly, and specifically. Now, some of you may have had experiences like that, where you knew that it was God who was speaking to you. It was the Holy Spirit who was speaking to you. Is there anybody who has had an experience like where you heard them audibly? Anybody? How many days ago? 3 days ago. Esther, you've had an experience like that? All right. It is real. Now, don't think that the people who are saying they've heard things like that, and styles, they are not normal people. They are very, very normal. You are the abnormal one. Because it's an experience that every child of God is supposed to have. And in fact, I want to say to you, you know, maybe you've said it yourself or you've heard people say that, oh, I was going to sit in the trotro and something said to me. Have you made a statement like that before?
Yeah.
And some of the times, when they say that something said to, it's you heard it. And it's not a something, especially if you're a child of God. It's not a something at all. It's actually the Spirit of God who has been given to you. And he has a purpose. I'll explain that as we move on. So understand that the Holy Spirit speaks, number one, audibly, directly, and specifically. Then number two, how does the Holy Spirit speak? And this is the one that is the most common. He speaks through a conviction, a perception, or an inner witness. He speaks through a conviction, he speaks through a perception, and he speaks through an inner witness. Let's read some scriptures that refer to this. John 16, verse 7 to 8. John 16, verse 7 to 8. Again, Jesus was speaking, but in fact, and he said this to the disciples, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, Jesus now goes on to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit, or an aspect of the ministry of the work of the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will convict. Everybody say, he will convict. When he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts. And a conviction is an inner persuasion or a strong awareness and impression. That's what a conviction is. So here it is coming from the Holy Spirit. So it is an inner persuasion or a strong awareness and impression which is brought about by the Holy Spirit. In fact, before you can be born again, you need to come under this conviction of the Holy Spirit, where he speaks to you, and it's like an inner persuasion. So it is his voice. That what you are calling, I'm persuaded, or I'm aware, or I have an impression, is actually the voice of the Spirit of God. Yes. So he speaks in that way. So that's one of the ways he speaks, through a conviction, which I've explained to you, is an inner persuasion or strong awareness and impression brought about by the Holy Spirit. Now, Acts chapter 27, verse 9 to 10. Acts 27, verse 9 to 10. New King James Version. So, Paul was a prisoner. He was on his way to Rome. And this was according to the will of God. And they sailed in a ship heading for Rome when a mighty storm overtook them. Now, before they embarked on that leg of their journey, Paul had actually told them, this is where he told them. Now, when much time had been spent, verse 9 of Acts 27, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, what did he say to them? Men, I perceive that this voyage or this trip will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. He said, I perceive. And later on, what he perceived became a reality. They were shipwrecked. But God intervened and God saved them because Paul was on that ship. Because of you, may the Trotro be saved. Because of your presence on that bus, may that bus arrive at its destination. Because of your presence on that flight, may that plane not crash in the mighty name of Jesus. So what did Paul say to them? He said, I perceive that there's trouble ahead. Now that perception was actually the Spirit of God speaking to him. And one of the ways that we hear the voice of the Spirit of God in our lives is through a perception. It's like you're sensing something. To perceive something means to sense something. It's not with your natural senses. Because sometimes when you're perceiving things, they don't make sense logically. It's like you know that. So you know something, but you can't even explain it. That's what a perception is. And when he told them that I perceive that something bad is going to happen, it was actually the voice of God speaking to him in the inside of him. But it didn't come as an audible voice. And he was careful enough to show that what it was a perception. But it was no less the voice of the Spirit of God. So we've seen conviction, then we've seen perception. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16. New King James Version, Romans 8, 14 to 16. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So you know the song, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. It is based on this scripture. Then verse 16, so take note of this verse. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Bears witness. Now, when you go to court over an issue, one of the things you can do is to produce a witness. Now, what that witness does is that he speaks and testifies to something in relation to the case for which reason you are in court. And in many cases, the witness will be asked to mount the witness box so that he will testify and speak to what he knows, to what he saw, to what he's aware of. So when you think about witness, you should think about speaking. And the Bible says the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit. It's like saying that the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit and communes with our spirit, giving us that assurance that we are the children of God. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is sometimes described as that inner witness. It is similar to a perception. It is similar to a conviction. But another way of describing it is an inner witness. And one of the commonest ways that God speaks to us and guides us and directs us through this life is through this inner witness, through this conviction, through this perception. I'm saying again to you that it is the most common way by which the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Through a conviction, through a perception, through an inner witness. And he uses that to guide us to direct us, sometimes to save us from danger and to save us from evil. So it's like that inner witness, some would say, is like a traffic light. A traffic light has how many colors? Three. Is it three colors? Okay. What is the first color? Red. The next color? Yellow. And then the last color? Green. All right? So that inner witness, which is the voice of the Spirit of God to you and I, is like a traffic light. So if you are, for example, taking a decision and you have peace, which is an inner witness inside you, that this decision that I'm taking or this step that I'm taking, it's a good step. You have peace about it. It is like green, go. That's what it means. But if there is something you are trying to do, but it comes with a certain feeling of restlessness, as a woman bow, you don't have peace inside. It is a red, which means what? Stop. And stop means don't go. Then sometimes it is not peace, green, which means go. Sometimes it is not a restlessness, which is red, that means stop. But sometimes you are uncertain and you are undecided. That one simply means yellow. What must you do? Wait. That's what it means. So you see, what we are calling the conviction, the perception, and the inner witness is actually the voice of the Spirit of God. And you must be sensitive to that voice. I have had people come to me to ask me whether they should take certain decisions or not. When they come and ask me that thing, I explain to them that I'm not a soothsayer. I'm not a soothsayer. That's not who I am. Because sometimes people come to you and they want you to tell them what to do. So that they come, there's somebody in my life, and I want you to tell me whether I should marry the person or not. Amen. No. Usually the question that I'll ask them is that, do you have peace in your heart about it? Or sometimes I tell them, listen, go and pray about this situation. And as you pray, listen in the inside of you. Check for the sign of peace. Check for the sign of it shall be well. You have that perception. You have that conviction. You have that inner witness. When you have that, it's a go. It means green. Go. But if you realize that anytime you think about the thing, you feel restless, it's a sign that don't go that way. And sometimes, you know, it's not like you are restless. It's not like you have peace, but you are still uncertain. It means that continue praying. It means wait, don't rush. And many of us sometimes ignore these signs. And then we end up in trouble. So before you realize you have gone to marry a tilapia, mommy water. Yeah. Or you've gone to marry a wizard because you ignored the signs. Or you have gone in for a job that is going to be your downfall. And when you were praying about it, you did not have the clear sign to go, which is a sign of peace. But you were attracted by the salary. You are attracted. Now, many of us are not led by the Spirit of God. We are led by circumstances. That's what leads us, circumstances. A lot There are times when people come and they tell you that, oh, I prayed about it and I felt God leading me. It was not God leading you. Yeah. You have used your natural mind to analyze and assess the thing. Say, hey, bread the yawa be or what done. Owe juma kese. I am the osikaso. Nama warana muhu bottom. Hey, we are seeing mammy be ma bread papa. I am going for it. So you red cry, me so you green. And there's me a color blind. Mu who red in the green. Away bus. They are gone. May God deliver us from such errors. Rise to your feet and let's close. I'll continue next week. God bless you. I am your servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Lift your hands and tell the Lord, I need your wisdom, your truth and comfort.
Your truth and comfort.
Speak to me, Lord.
Speak to me, Lord, speak to me.
Second verse, I am your servant, tell the Lord.
I am your servant.
And I am living. My heart is silent and my soul is longing.
My heart is silent.
My soul is longing.
My soul is longing.
So speak to me.
Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me.
Tell the Lord, speak to me.
Speak to me.
Lord.
Speak to me.
Through your word.
Through your word. Speak your words of life. Speak to me.
Oh.
Speak to me.
I am
listening. I am waiting. Speak to me.
One more time. Speak to me.
Speak to me. Speak your words of life. Speak to me.
Yeah.
Speak to me.
I am listening.
I am listening. I am waiting. Speak to me.
Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. Thank you for what we've learned about your spirit. I pray may our relationship with the Holy Spirit be strengthened. May it become stronger, and may we hear him speaking to us and guiding us through the course of this life. May your voice become our quest in this life, to know that voice, to identify that voice clearly, to distinguish between your voice and any other voice that seeks our attention. I pray, Father, may our lives become better as we pursue the voice of God in every decision that we take. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Let everybody say amen. All right, God bless you. You may be seated.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.